This is a Gathering Heritage project interview recorded in County Louth in Ireland.
Now, I'd like to welcome Frank Conroy. Frank, an old neighbour of mine, of course, from Hill Street. And we're going to talk about the Democrat office. Now, the Democrat office is still there, but it's a wee restaurant called Reeves at the moment. But, Frank, the Democrat was the office and the printers was very much like an awful lot of other places in town, particularly like McArdle Moors, where if your father was in it, you would get in it. Did that happen all the time? How did you get into it?
Well, actually, I served my time in McGowan's on the Ramparts. And then after that, I went to work in the Drogheda Independent. And then my father retired from the Democrat. And I decided I would like to come back to the town. So I approached Mr. Rowe, who was the owner, and I got into the Democrat because I was kind of fed up travelling up and down to Drogheda. So that's how I got into it. And as you say, it was a family business. My father worked in it. My cousin, Jean Conroy, worked in it. And then I came into it. And between the three of us, I think we might have actually worked between the three of us, it was 150 years between the three of us. So you were right in a way. It was a sort of a family tradition, like the breweries.
Now, of course, it was the only local paper at that time, or was it? Was the Examiner still around at that time?
I think the Examiner might have finished in the 50s or 60s, but the Democrat was the main paper, yeah.
And it was going back now, or looking back now, Frank, and the way the printing is done, we'll go through it in more detail in a minute, but it's all done by computers in 5 minutes now. But what would happen? It came out of a Saturday, Frank, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a Saturday paper. And as a matter of fact, a lot of the workers had approached Mr. Rowe. The paper was finished, was printed on a Friday night. And some of us actually asked Mr. Rowe, would he not take the paper out on a Friday night, and maybe it could make a lot of money by coming out on a Friday night. Would hit the pubs? No, tradition is tradition. No way would it come out on a Friday night. It was a Saturday paper, and that's it.
He was a man of tradition and a man that ruled the roost down there, didn't he?
He was the boss. I would say he was not a Fergal Quinn, put it that way. You worked for him, and that was it. You worked. There was no incentives as such. He was the boss.
My memory of him is sitting in a big chair overlooking the whole place, like you know, and he was something like that. You couldn't imagine now him walking over walkers these days.
He didn't believe in new methods of walking, and gradually over the years the paper slipped down, and other papers moved in.
Now, going back, of course, to which the main point that I want to talk to you about is the way that the paper was printed way back then. What year did you start in the Democrat?
I started roughly in 1976. I came from Drogheda. But the peculiar thing is, the method of printing, when my father started working the Democrat, would have been in the early 20s, and the method hadn't changed. And it was called hot metal printing. It was made of as a hot metal. Nowadays, it's all computerized. You could produce a paper in your bedroom now, and it's sent over the wire to a central printing office. But in those days, each printing office had its own printing press. Nowadays, you hire out time on a central printing press, and the paper is printed in. You could print the Democrat now in half an hour. So instead of buying one, each paper having one press, you hire out the time on somebody else's press, And that's simply, it's completely changed nowadays.
And Frank, you had to hand do, not you personally, but I'd ask you what your job was in a minute, but it had to be done by hand. And I was looking in the museum the other day, I knew I was coming down to chat here, and there's a very good example of it in the museum from the Dalgan Press, which of course was exactly the same type of thing. And it was mind-blowing that it had to be done, every solitary letter had to be put in by hand.
Well, in the early days, yes, but at the end of the 18th century, at the end of the 19th century, the machine came in called a linotype, whereas it became mechanically processed, whereas an operator on a keyboard could produce a line of type. But if you wanted to do headlines or fancy lines for ads, they were all handset. But columns of news type eventually were produced line by line. But each letter had to be typed out and then processed on a mold. But nowadays you can just produce on a keyboard.
And had everybody, Frank, got a certain job? For instance, what was your job?
Oh, yeah. My job was a compositor, and my job was to make up a page of type. And then there was the actual printers who actually printed the paper. So there was compositors, and then there was pressmen, and then there was readers. The paper had to be packaged as well. But my job was a compositor, which is it's like a cooper in the brewery now who made barrels. That job is gone. My job is gone now.
So would the reporters then write would they write the article, and would it have to go to Mr. Rowe, and then he would then okay it?
Yes, that's the way it was. The reporter would type it out, Mr. Rowe would check it. Then it would go down to the man on the linotype. He would have to type it out. It would come off on a tray, and then I would have to put it into an iron frame, and then it would have to be corrected again, and then finally the page would have to be what we would call locked up, which meant it had to be tightened up. Then it would have to be put onto to the press. But nowadays, the reporter types it directly onto a screen, and. Yeah. So in other words, the compositor's job is bypassed. So that's what you call direct input.
Now, my memory of the Democrat was, of course, it was a broadleaf. And
a broadsheet.
Broadleaf for cigarettes, wasn't it?
Broadleaf. Yeah.
But
you want to go to PJ Carroll's with the broadleaf.
But it was enormous, and the whole front page I remember so well. That's where all the classified, the whole front. There was no news on it, other than what was on in the cinema.
Yeah. No, we think we were one of the last papers in the world to have the front page completely covered with ads. Yeah. It was amazing, and people used to fight to get their ads on the top and on the front page, and especially at the top of the front page. Yeah. So,
if I remember rightly, there was a McCardle's Ales or something used to be the banner headline for years.
That was even before my time. Yeah. And then at the very top left and top right, there was four little ads, and they used to be called the lug spaces. So Loretta Murphy used to always call her my lug. and Loretta was proud of having her ad on the top page.
And they would change it every week?
It changed the ad, but the position of the ad was still the same. It was always Murphy's lug was on the top.
Frank, there must have been some money taken in advertising in its heyday.
Oh, yes. I remember years ago, some weeks we would have 8 or 9 pages of auctioneer's ads alone. Yeah. Oh, the money coming in was fantastic. It really, really was. And then we also had the prepaids. That was the articles for sale. You might have 3 pages of articles for sale, houses for sale, even caravans for sale. And that was one of my jobs, was to put them under the different categories.
Yeah, and situations vacant and situations. What was the other one?
Situations wanted. And lost and found. I remember one time I was in a hurry, and I was reading the paper the next day, and I actually seen a Range Rover for sale under dogs. Now, you think about that one, Range Rover under dogs. So, work that one out.
Was there somebody responsible for mistakes? And if something went out, was there hell to pay?
It would depend on mistakes. Some of the mistakes were just normal spelling mistakes. But one of the biggest mistakes ever was in the in memoriams. You understand what in memoriams was? Now, the verse should have read, "Your presence we miss, your memory we treasure." But for some reason, it went in as, "Your presence we miss, your money we treasure." Now, it was hell to pay for that.
Did the people object?
Well, see, we copped it on before the customer came in. So Mr. Rowe was ready, and he had a good excuse. But yeah, in the end, everything was settled. But we were sweating for the customer.
When would you wrap it up, shall we say, for one? I'm sure that's not the right word, but you know what I mean, on the Friday.
Well, we would call it putting it to bed, right. Because the different pages went on to the machine and went on to the bed of the machine, and that's where the expression came from, putting it to bed. In the old days, it would be late on a Friday night, very, very late. And then it would be printed through the night. But gradually, over the years, we put it back to a Friday afternoon. But as I say, Mr. Rowe would still keep the printed paper until the Saturday morning. He would not let the paper out on a Friday night.
So where did the papers were always stacked in? There was a hall going into it a counter on it. For the people to come in the shops. You had to come and get the Democrats. They weren't delivered in the shops, were they?
Some of them around the town would come, but then a great thing about the Democrat was that the bread men going around the county, the bread men would deliver it with the bread, and then some of the news agents would come in and collect the paper.
How much did it cost the way back then? Can you have any idea?
I forget.
Yeah.
I know that
my father lived for the Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he would read absolutely everything.
The Democrat was a Saturday morning paper and people loved it. But unfortunately, a lot of the ads, a lot of the for sale ads, by the time the customer got them, it was too late for the article. By the time they got the paper on the Saturday, it was too late to buy them. You understand?
They were losing out.
And then gradually, when the new owners came in, they brought the paper back then to a Wednesday, which meant that it sold better. But then gradually over the years, the circulation has dropped, unfortunately. Yeah. And then Mr. Rowe sold out to the Leinster Leader. And then they sold out to Johnson Press.
And it's now, moved a few times. Hasn't
and
it?
Then it's now owned by people called Iconic Newspapers. So they own a few papers around the country. Mm.
Tell me about some of the names of the people that they worked there, because they were very close-knit, even though they were hard, he was a hard master, but the workers themselves had a good time.
He had a very good staff, and I don't think Mr. Rowe realised how loyal the staff was. We had some great characters. We had Joe Crilly, who was a famous musician, who was a great character. Johnny McAvoy, who was a great man, a trickster, and then Gene Conroy, and Jerry Prendergast, who unfortunately at the moment is not too well, and Peter Cavanagh is well known, who still works for the paper. Joe Carroll played for County Louth. I don't think he ever won too many cups or trophies with him, unfortunately. And we had a wonderful staff. Pat Eaton, Frank McCabe, otherwise known as Nat.
Yeah, the amount of people that worked, and it was only a tiny wee place, wasn't it?
It was only a tiny little place, fortunately.
Were you well paid?
We got the going rate, and it was overtime. But there wasn't a bonus scheme as such. You got what you worked for. Now, we did get a scheme going in the end that the harder you worked, You didn't get paid overtime, but you got an incentive to get the paper out, if you understand what I mean. And it worked okay in the end, yes.
And Frank, when you went in on a Monday morning, you started completely from scratch, because there was a lot of ads would be going out, the same ads, yes. We say, like the McArdle Mirror.
Oh, yes.
So would that be left there to add the rest of it to it? Then?
We would call them standing ads. But the type that was used for the text, it had to be melted down again to make the ingots for to go back onto the hot metal machines. It all had to be melted down. So on a Monday morning, what we would call the stuff had to be dissed, which meant was distributed again to be melted down.
So all the work you'd done on the one previous,
yes.
All that was melted down to nothing, and you started off.
You started off with blank pages, except for the standing ads. Yeah. Now, but what would happen with the standing ads, over time, the metal would wear down. So after maybe a couple of months, all those standing ads would have to be reset because it had worn down. Do you understand me?
And can you remember in your time there, Frank, them improving the machines? Like you were talking about the line, what did you call that one?
Line or type.
Was that as far as it went for modernisation?
That's it. The trouble was the parts for these linotypes would not be made anymore. So they were worn down, but a mechanic, we'd call him a linotype mechanic, worked in the Irish Times, and he came down every so often to sort of revamp the machines. But over time, they're completely worn down. Now, Mr. O did not believe in the modern technology, so they were really on a wing and a prayer, and there was bits of wire tied around them, and they kept going. But
and Frank, the whole building itself, it was never modernised, like right until it closed.
No, there was no. I actually, one day when I was having my dinner, the results came across the radio of the Tidy Towns competition, and lo and behold, it was announced that the best traditional shop front in Ireland was won by the Dundalk Democrat. Now, I'll be honest, I nearly collapsed. Now, the only reason why it won it was because it was never done up. If somebody had come into the back of the building, it would have won another medal.
The other thing I remember going in, pardon me, and the noise of the machines was unbelievable.
The noise and the smell. Yeah. Yeah. There was one day I was walking, and this elderly man came into the works, and he says, "This brings back memory to me. My father used to work in the Belfast, Belfast Telegram. Yeah. And he says, "I remember as a child going into it, and this is just like the old Belfast Telegram, about 50 years. And he said to me, "If I had my way here," he says, "I'd stop printing and I'd open it up as a tourist attraction. And I'd open up a wee cafe and charge people in and give them a cup of tea and a sticky bun and give them a tour around the place." That's a very wordsy used.
I was talking to, my son was home from London the other day, and we were talking about the Democrat and all the, and we were just saying that about the coffee shop that's in it now.
Yeah, yeah.
If you had behind it all the machines still there. And like, it's nostalgia is a dream, isn't
it's
it?
A dream, yeah. I'd say if the Democrat now had been in a place like Killarney, it would still be going as a tourist attraction.
And Frank, when did the opposition to the Democrat, what was the first paper that came out in opposition to was that during Tom Rowles' boss?
Well, you see, the Argus was always there. The Argus was actually a Drogheda paper. And it came out and it did a few improvements. And slowly it took over, because the Argus is controlled by is owned by the Irish Independent newspapers. So they had the money behind them. And this slowly, as Mr. Rowe was not interested.
Yeah. And that was a tabloid, of course. That was always a tabloid.
It was always a tabloid. It was printed. When I worked in Drogheda, in the Drogheda Independent, we also produced the Argus in Drogheda. So I actually walked into the Argus before.
Because, Frank, when it came out first, there was very little Dundalk news in it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's gone back a long time.
Yeah. And when did Tom Rowe retire from it? Was it on the way down?
Yeah, I
know he was a very quiet man, and I remember going into Arthur's shop down in Jocelyn Street, and he would be coming home from work, and he'd be going round picking up his little pieces, and you know, he was that kind of a man. Like he wasn't somebody that was looking to do the place up,
he wasn't a great mixer, and he didn't consult the workers over anything. You know,
that wasn't a done thing then, though, Frank, was it?
Well, Fergal Quinn done it.
He funny enough, though, I was looking at a documentary only the other night on him, and he was the complete opposite altogether. But there were very few Fergal Quinns around. I mean, I worked in shops,
and it was
exactly the same.
But if there was a problem, Tom Rowe wouldn't consult the workers. He didn't talk to the workers about problems, you know. You see, and a lot of the workers in the Democrat hadn't worked anywhere else, whereas I had worked in the Rod Independent, and I'd seen different things worked up there. Now, every year we had an annual outing. It was our night out, and it was always held around St. Patrick's Night. And if you didn't go to it, you were sort of ostracised by Mr. Rowe. He didn't like it if you didn't go. So that's the sort of a man he was.
He was, I don't know what, he lived in the old days,
In the old days.
Now, Frank, there was a lot of workers there who worked all their lives which is unbelievable, because it was hard work.
Most of the workers never worked anywhere else. And Tom didn't like change. As I told you before, he would not bring the paper out on a Friday night. And it could have been sold, the people who sold the paper, They could have made a fortune selling the paper round the pubs on a Friday night. Could have made an absolute fortune. Now, another thing too, he didn't believe in Easons distributing the paper in Dublin.
On his behalf.
Or in London. You couldn't buy the Democrat in London. Whereas all the provincial newspapers in London, or in Ireland, were sold in London. To the emigrants. No.
What was the beginning of the end? Did you retire before it closed down, Tom?
No. Tom, I think Tom was just getting a bit old, and he was made an offer by the Leinster leader, and that's how it all started. We knew, we heard rumours was coming, you know, and we were lucky in a way, because shortly after he sold to the Leinster leader, Tom took ill. So we were lucky in a way, because as far as we know, he had made no will, and he had no direct family. So if he passed away then, so if he had passed away, there was no one to carry on the firm. We were very, very lucky. Yeah.
And when the Leinster leader took her over, did they make many changes in it?
Oh, yes, they changed it. We actually moved out of Earl Street, and we moved down to Crow Street to Tempest Shop.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
We moved down there, and they introduced computers. And they were.
And was there work for all of you there?
Oh, there was. And there was a few of the old hands. Johnny McAvoy left, Vincey Chute left, and gradually some of the old hands left. Now, they were well looked after. And yes, that's what happened. And then we changed. It turned out that eventually we could go to work in our good clothes. It was a big change, because it was very, very dirty work.
When you look back Frank, would you... Sorry,
there was one night I came home after working a long, long day, and I didn't realise I had ink on my feet. And I went to bed, and the next morning I woke up, and the wife says to me, "The bed upstairs is like the Holy Shroud of Turin," she says. It was that bad with the ink. It was very, 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 very,
when you look back at it.
The premises were unhealthy, and then you were breathing the fumes from the metal pots. Yeah, it was unhealthy. Yeah, it was great then eventually going to work nice and clean.
Now, I know because you lived next door to us up in Hill Street, and all the years that I know you, you still very fondly talk about the Democrat.
I liked working. When I went to work in McGowan's, it was a general jobbing office, and I always wanted to work on a newspaper, and that's the reason why I went to work in the Drogheda Independent. There was a bit of, what would you call it, cut and thrust about the newspaper, and you were always busy, and it was always great to, you get satisfaction getting the paper out, you know.
How long did you work with your dad, or was he retired before you?
My dad was retired. Yeah.
Right.
I never actually worked with him.
Did he talk an awful lot about the Democrat when you were growing up?
Not really.
It's amazing.
There's a sort of a fraternity among the printers. Even when you go on holidays to a foreign country, you'd always buy your local newspaper in the language. Even though you can't read it, but you just buy the paper just to look at it. Oh, you would, yeah.
There'd be me going around looking at
shoes. You'd always show me that. Or if,
to see, could you pick up something on it?
It's just to see the style of the paper, You wouldn't understand what it was all about, but you just look at it, just to see, that's the local paper. Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think, finally, Frank, of now we come a complete circle now where the Democrat is now out of a Tuesday, along with the Argus.
Yeah, yeah.
And it always strikes me how two local papers can go out on the same morning.
I can understand, because it's the same news in both papers.
And if you
read some of the stories are the exact same.
Yeah. So well, a lot of them are press releases, of course, which are sent into the two papers.
But I must tell you a good story before we go. When the Leinster leader was taken over, Democrat, and I was the shop steward at the time. Now each printing office is called a chapel. Yeah, going back to the old days, and I was the father of the chapel. You see. And I happened to say to one of the boys, I think we're making a few bob out of this, Mr. Rose selling out. So one of the boys says, I wouldn't ask him any money. We're not entitled to it. And I say, we'd ask him anyway. So anyway, eventually we got a few bob. So the chap that said to me, I wouldn't take anything off him. The first thing he says to me is, when are we getting the money? so that'll show you, you know. Money talks. Yeah.
Frank, they're great memories. I'm sure every time you even walk past the Democrat, you think. Now, you used to get a free paper every. Do you still get a free Democrat?
I don't always go down, but if I walked in, I get the free paper.
And can anyone do that, or is it just you?
Well, I don't know.
I mean, but how do you go? Did they know you're going in? Like?
Oh, did you? Yeah.
So if I walk in now tomorrow, can I lift the Democrat? It'd be okay, would I?
No, you wouldn't get the free paper. No. But I'd still rather walk in the brewery. Yeah. I get the free drink.
Frank Kelly, thank you very much indeed for talking to me. It's great, great memories. And my own memories of it is exactly what you say there. Mr. Tom Rowe sitting in his big chair supervising everything. And the noise and the smell. And it brings back great memories. Frank, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome, Harry.
Listen to the full interview on www.gatheringheritage.com.